thankful to be here this morning, and if you could remember our little ones in prayer, we got one sick at the house, but I'm glad to be here, and I'm thankful for the revival we've had this week. And I was on my way here, and I thought of this verse, and it's Mark 12 and verse 28. Towards the end of it says, "Which is the first commandment of all?" It says, "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, mainly, namely, this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And I thought about my why. Something that, you know, I try to focus on, why I get up in the morning, why I do things. And if you don't come to church, you need to find your why. And there's about 18 little whys up here that you need to come to church for. Why you need to get up in the morning, why you need to pray, why you need to read your Bible. It's important to have a why. And if you don't have one, it's easy to find one. We got plenty of them. But remember these kids this morning. Remember our church service. Remember Neil. And I'm just thankful to be here, and I'm thankful that the Lord's moved this week for us. But I'm going to have JD say the prayer for us.
Good morning. As always, we desire your prayers. I probably say it every week, but this is the scariest place I've ever been, is getting up here and standing. But if it wasn't, I wouldn't do it. Our lesson this morning is in Psalms verse 10, or chapter 10, verses 12 to 18. The second half of that chapter. And a lot of times when I'm studying the lesson, if God will give me a place to start, I'm happy. I don't have to understand everything about the lesson to get up and teach or to get up and talk about it. If God would just give me a place to start. And when I first read this lesson, I guess for anybody else to read this lesson, it might not have the same, you might not get the same thought I got out of it, but for whatever reason, the first thing I thought of when I read this lesson was there's a place in the spirit of a man, or in the heart, if you want to call it that, that desires to be with God. I believe every man and woman that's ever been born has had a part of them that desired to be with God, desires to have a connection. The devil has put uncountable things in this world for people to use to try to fill that void. Because if you don't have God in your life, I don't care what you say, if you don't have God as a part of your life, you're looking for him. You're looking for something. You have an emptiness about you, and you're looking for something to fill that void. And the devil's put all kinds of stuff out in the world for people to use to try to fill that void. But nothing satisfies except God. But we'll go ahead and start reading. One other thing I thought of when I was reading this was to kind of go along with that, trying to find things to fill that void. There's a lot of people, especially nowadays, it seems like they want to push the idea of aliens being out in space, or they want to. Nowadays, you're hearing a lot about other dimensions, where there's a dimension right outside of ours that time's going backwards, or you know, different lives are going on in different areas that we don't have any contact with, and sometimes they cross through portals and things like that. I think it's all a bunch of hogwash, but I thought there is two dimensions that we know of if we've been saved. There's a physical dimension and a spiritual dimension. This physical man can't understand what's going on in the spiritual world, because that's God's world, and God's the only one that understands all about it. But if we've been saved, we know enough about it to be comfortable with it and to want to know more about it. And that's part of the reason we're here this morning, is to learn more about it. But Psalms chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble." That's one of them verses that we know is meant in a spiritual way. When he says, "O God, lift up thine hand," we don't expect a big natural-looking hand to come out of the ground or out of the sky or any physical hand-shaped presence from God. We just expect God's power. That's a spiritual thing. God's always with us. And I'll go as far as saying God's always with us whether we want him there or not. There's been times in my life when I tried to get away from him, but he was always there with me. And if we're not where we're supposed to be, he's still right there with us, and he'll let us know every now and then, "You're still mine." At least he did me. I can only speak from my own experience, but when I was as far away from him as I could run, he'd still get a hold of me every now and then and say, "You still belong to me." That's how you know he's real. But verse 13 says, "Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it." Contemn, I looked that word up, is the verb form of the word contempt. Those that contempt have a contempt for God. They don't want to look at their self and find guilt. But when God comes and the gospel comes and touches your heart and shows you you're a sinner, you can't help but see your own guilt. God will show you your sin. The second part of that says, "He has said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it." There was a time I didn't think I needed any help from God. I guess I didn't know I was lost. I was okay. God didn't require anything of me. And I didn't feel like God required anything of me. But when the gospel came, like Paul said, sin revived and I died. And I realized that God required something of me. And when the opportunity for me to move came, I realized then that that's what was required of me. There was nothing else I could do. There was no way I could do anything for myself except move when God told me to move. And still today, there's not much I can do for myself except move when God says move. And it seems like the older I get, the more often he says stand still and wait. But verse 14 says, thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thine hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. God knew all along where I was at. I guess you could say I was a lucky one. I was only 11 years old when God called to me. And since then, over the years, I've seen all different ages of people get saved. I can remember being just a young fella, and Junior Neal was heavy on everybody's heart. And finally, at a ripe old age, I don't know how old he was, but he was gray-headed before he ever come to the altar. And he finally come and got saved. And I've thought over the years how much harder it would almost seem like it'd have to be for somebody up in years to get saved other than as compared to me at 11 years old. But I guess it just depends on the person a lot. But God seen where I was at. He knew the sin of my heart. I'll say it that way because I was only 11 years old. I probably hadn't done too much bad. And Blaine was only 6. I'm sure he probably hadn't done nothing wrong, hardly, up to that point, you know. But still yet, go back a verse, God required something of us. Because of Adam's sin, we all inherited man's sin nature. And God required a movement on our part when he called to us to alleviate that sin. And that's why I said, thou art the helper of the fatherless. When that call came, like Paul said again, sin revived and I died, I became fatherless. I was an orphan, and God called and said, come, I'll be your father. He's the helper of the fatherless. Verse 15 says, break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Now, there again, that's a spiritual meaning, because God's not going to go out here in the world and physically break arms of evil people. But when I was sitting on that front bench over on Albert Street and God called to me, I was broken. I might not have been horribly evil, like I said, but I was not in favor with God. I was lost. And God broke me down to the point where I could see my need. And then he called. And the next part of that verse says, seek out his wickedness till thou find none. He knew everything about me, and he kept calling me until I came to him, and I was washed in the blood. And after I was washed in the blood, there was no sin left to be found. And there still ain't on my soul. Now this fellow you look at, I got to apologize to God every day. There's things that go on in my head that I don't even want to talk about. I don't even want to think about. I have to apologize every day to God. But my soul has never found a speck of sin since God washed it clean. Verse 16 says, "The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land." I don't understand why, but some people, when they read a verse like that, the first thing they think of is Israel over there in the Middle East, and in particular, Jerusalem, the capital. God's land is not in the Middle East. It's in a dimension that we don't understand, and we won't ever understand it fully until we get there. But the heathen will not get there. They will not be there. And there's never going to come a time when there are not evildoers in that land over there in the Middle East, in Israel or in Jerusalem. There's never going to come a time when that physical country is empty of any evildoers. That's just not going to happen. There's a lot of people thinks that one of these days God's going to come down out of heaven and set up his kingdom, and Israel's going to be the capital. And Israel's already the capital. Israel is God's people, and we are already living in God's kingdom. We don't need that country over there in the Middle East to be raised up, because it's not important in a spiritual sense. I mean, in a historical sense, we love it and it's great. I'd like to go. But in a spiritual way of things, I don't need that place over there. I've got everything I need right here. Verse 17 says, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." If we are searching for God, we can find him. First thing I thought when I read that scripture was Peyton. How long have we seen her coming to the altar looking, trying to find what she was looking for, and doing it with a humble heart. And you know, it's easy for this flesh to sit back maybe and say, "Well, why ain't she finding what she wanted? What's she doing wrong?" But it didn't necessarily have nothing to do with her doing anything wrong. She was searching. And God, it says right there, "Thou hast heard the desire of the humble." And God prepared her heart and caused her ear to hear. And then she got saved. God will take care of us if we let him. But we've got to be humble. And we've got to be trying. We've got to have a desire to do what God wants us to do. I don't mind teaching Sunday school. Matter of fact, I kind of enjoy it. And I'll say it this way: I don't so much enjoy this part of it, but I enjoy the week ahead, knowing that I got to do this part, because it gives me that much more encouragement to sit down and get in the book and look at things and read things. And God, I've said this before too, and I know I've heard my dad say it, I think that teaching Sunday school is more of a help to me than it is to anybody else, because there's a lot of things that I think of when I'm studying. God shows me things and I write things down, and then I get up here and don't even use any of them things. It was just stuff between me and God, and it's a good thing. But if I didn't have any desire to do any of this, none of that would happen. I've got to have a desire in my heart to move when God wants me to move, to speak when God wants me to speak, to be still when God wants me to be still. Like I said, there's a bunch of stuff I got wrote down on this paper, and I might not get to half of it because God gave it to me as I was sitting studying. And if he doesn't want me to use it in here, then I don't need to use it in here. It's just what God wants is what I want. And that's the desire that this verse is talking about. Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. God knows the desire of our heart. And if we truly desire to serve God, we can. Because he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. Verse 18 says, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. We're going to have struggles and we're going to have problems in this life. But when God judged the fatherless, in my head, in my heart, I know exactly what this verse means. I see it plain as day, but I can't put it into words. It's my soul was fatherless and oppressed. And this guy you look at was the one doing the oppressing. Because I sat on that bench and God said, come get saved. I'll be your father. And I sat there and said, no, I can't do that. I held myself back. But once God judged me worthy, once I came to him and I was washed in the blood and he judged me worthy, this man can't oppress that anymore. I can hold it back. I can push it to the back and say, nope, I'm not following God. But I can't take away that salvation that God put in there. Even if I wanted to give it away, I can't do it. There's coming a time when I'm going to have a change and I'm going to fly away, and there ain't nothing I can do about that. This guy right here can't stop that from happening. The man of the earth may no more oppress. And I think that means a whole lot more than just me oppressing me. The world in general cannot stop God's people from being God's people. There's people in this world as we speak probably being killed for being Christians. I know they're being put in prison and punished and beat and just all kinds of different things. But even in places where they're doing that, there are still people hiding behind closed doors worshiping God and calling other people to come in, even though they know they're risking their life to do that. Because the Bible says this world cannot hold us down. Anybody got any thoughts on the lesson? I don't really have anything more than that. I will say, if it comes across your heart, pray for mom and dad. I don't know where they're at this morning. They moved yesterday, and they was planning on being here this morning, but I don't know. I haven't heard nothing from them, so I don't know if they was just too tired to get up or hurting or wore out or, you know, at their age, they might have just been too sore to get out of bed this morning. I don't know. But they spent the day moving yesterday, so. Anyways, I thank you for your prayers, and hopefully we'll have a good service this morning.